This is lesson number 7 on Mishnayos Terumos. We are up to the second Mishnah of the second Perek, and we will be studying again 2 Mishnayos today. Brief review. We've learned about the mitzvah of setting aside truma from one's grain, from one's olives, grapes, etc., grown in Eretz Yisrael. We've learned a little bit about who can and who cannot set aside the truma, who is eligible to perform the mitzvah of hafroshas truma. And we learned a little bit about the kinds of truma that can or cannot be used to set aside on behalf of other kinds of truma. And so today, in Mishnah Beis of Perek Beis, we turn to one example of the latter. Because we also studied already that there is a difference between truma tahora and truma tameya. If a person has a bushel of wheat and it has become tome, wheat can become tome. If it is first moistened, tome means impure, if it is first moistened by water or various other liquids, and then comes into contact with one of the sources of tumah, of impurity, which can be a sheretz, certain types of dead reptiles or rodents, which can be a person who has come into contact with the dead, which can be a woman who is menstruant, who is a nidah, and other categories of people who are considered tame or impure. And if they touch grain, truma, which has become prepared for kabbalas truma, which has been moistened by water, let's say, then they are tame. A kohen, it's allowed to use truma tameya. He can't eat it, but he can use it as fuel. We'll discuss whether or not to the extent he can use it as food for animals, but he can certainly use it as fuel for a fire, for illumination, or for warmth. Truma, which is tahor, of course, may be eaten, in fact, should be eaten. Suppose a kohen has several bushels, suppose a person, not a kohen, a person who owns a farm, has many bushels of wheat, some of which are tome, which came into contact with a source of tuma, and most of which are tohor. And he wants to take some of the truma tumeya, some of the truma which is tome, and set that aside and give that to the kohen on behalf of the other truma that he has, which is tohor. Of course, his motive for doing that is quite obvious. He'll save some money. The truma tumeya has practically no use except for a kohen who might want to use it for fuel. Truma tahora, a kohen and his family, his slaves, etc., can use them, can eat it. So the halacha in this Mishnah is, Mishnah Beis, ein tor min min hatomei al hator. One's not allowed to do that. Not allowed to set aside tome truma, truma tumeya, on behalf of truma tahora. And of course the reason is because this is to the disadvantage of the kohen. The kohen can't use truma tumeya for anything except fuel, can't use it for food. However, suppose a person does set aside truma tumeya on behalf of truma tahora. It depends upon his state of mind. Im toram, shogeg, if he did it not knowing, for example, that this was tome, then later found out, trumoso truma. The truma is effective, that which he set aside is effectively truma. Umezid, however, if he does it intentionally, lo oso klum, nothing has happened. Now, there is great amount of background on this halacha, which seems simple. First of all, the Gemara Maseches Psochim asks, how can the truma which a person gives, the truma tumeya, which a person gives, bishogeg, unintentionally, didn't realize it was tumeh, how can that be effectively truma? The pasuk reads, Reishis degoncha titein lo. You must give the Kohen something for him. And the Gemara in Meseches Psochim, Daf Lamed Gimel, understands that lo to him to mean lo v'lo lioro. It's to him to use for his direct consumption, for him, for his body, for his belly. V'lo lioro, and not for his fire, not for fuel. And therefore, truma which is not fit to be eaten is not really truma at all. The Gemara answers there that our Mishnah is speaking about truma, which at one point was tahora and then later became tomei. Therefore, it had a point in its history, so to speak, where it could have, it was kosher truma, so to speak. It was not yet tomei. It was truma tahora, and then later it came into contact with the source of truma. In such a case, the truma min hatorah is truma. However, the Gemara concludes there, if this grain became tomei before it was eligible to become truma, then even if later it was designated as truma, that's not truma, because lo v'lo lioro. Now also, we just learned that if a person intentionally takes truma, which he knows is truma tumeya, and gives that to the Kohen, sets that aside and gives that to the Kohen on behalf of the farmer's truma tahora, grain which is tahora, if that's the case, then lo osoklum, nothing has happened. And here, the Gemara Meseches Yevamos discusses this on Daf Peites, and there's a machlokas. One opinion in the Meseches Yevamos is that nothing, absolutely nothing has happened. And that truma tumeya which he set aside is not truma at all. It remains tevel. Tevel, you remember, is grain from which truma has not been given, and we're back to status quo ante. Nothing has happened here. Another opinion, however, is that he has not been yotze, he's not fulfilled the mitzvah of truma, but that which he designated as truma remains truma and goes to the Kohen. The truma tumeya goes to the Kohen to use for fuel, and the farmer is obligated to again give truma from the rest of his crop, which is tohor. And interestingly, the Rambam rules like the second opinion. A similar case is V'chein ben Levi, Shohoyolo Ma'aser Tevel. We've learned that after the farmer gives truma to the Kohen, or sets aside truma for the Kohen, he then gives one-tenth of the remainder to the Levi. And the Levi, and that's called Ma'aser Rishon. And the Levi must take that tenth, and from that tenth give a tenth of a tenth, to the Kohen. Until he does that, his ma'aser, the tenth that the Levi has, is tevil. He has to give what's called trumas ma'aser. So suppose you have a Levi who has ma'aser, which is tevil. Hoyo mafrish olov v'holech. And he too puts aside this truma tumeya and decides, this ma'aser, which is tevil, but which is tome, and gives from that bushel, which is tomei, constantly gives to the Kohen, or sets aside for the Kohen, that which, on behalf of other grain that he has. So if he does this b'shogeg, masha also, what's done is done. Mezid, if he intentionally puts aside tavua, grain, which is tomei, and which is ma'aser, but which is tomei, and sets aside that for the trumas maaser, for the tenth of the tenth, which this Levi owes to the Kohen, and he does that intentionally, lo osoklo, nothing has happened. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im hoya yodea bo batchila, afal pishehu shogeg lo osoklo. Rabbi Yehuda rules that if the farmer or the Levi knew at one point that this tefuah was tamei. The maaseh, for example, was tamei. And then he forgot. He forgot. And gave it as truma. Then lo asa klum. Because that is called shogei karov lemezid. Yes, forgetting is, you once knew, you shouldn't have forgotten. So therefore, lo asa klum, nothing has happened. However, suppose he did not know that it was tamei. But he just simply thought that, okay, so it's tamei, so what? He didn't realize that you can't give truma to meya on behalf of tevuah, which is tahora. He just didn't know that. That's a shogeg. In the case of a shogeg, what's done is done. So the Mishnah here distinguishes between shogeg and mezid. And most mefarshim understand that the difference between shogeg and mezid is a matter of knas. It's a fine, a punishment that we impose upon a person for intentionally doing something which is wrong. Shogeg, not an intentional act, and therefore we don't fine him, we advise him not to do so, but if he did so, well, what's done is done. The next Mishnah goes on to distinguish the difference between a shogeg, an accidental, unintentional act, and a mezid, a purposeful, intentional act, in other areas of halacha. Hamadbil kelim b'shabbos. The halacha is that a keli, a utensil, can become tomei. If it's tomei, you can't use it for certain purposes. However, suppose you can put it into a mikveh and it becomes tohor, and now you can use it for all those purposes. On Shabbos, however, one is forbidden to immerse a utensil, which is tomei, into a mikveh. Because it is tikkun kli. It's kind of like fixing the keli. Now the keli is broken, not physically broken, but halachically broken because it is tomei. If you fix it by putting it into the mikveh, that's fixing things on Shabbos and that's prohibited. Midrabbanan. Suppose a person immerses kelim on Shabbos shogeg, unintentionally, not knowing that it's Shabbos, not knowing that this is forbidden, then Yishtamesh bohem. He's allowed to use these kelim even on Shabbos. Mezid, however, if he intentionally, knowing it's Shabbos, knowing this is wrong, does so, lo yishtamesh bohem. He cannot use them on Shabbos, but he can use them motzoi Shabbos. Now, this is not the halacha, necessarily, but this is the opinion of our stam Mishnah, of our Mishnah, where no name of a Tana appears, as we will see, especially in the next halacha. The next halacha reads, Hama'aser v'hamavashel v'shabbos. A person who sets aside truma or ma'aser on Shabbos, which again is forbidden because it looks like fixing. You have grain which is broken, so to speak, which is tevel, and you set aside truma or maaser, so you're fixing the grain. Shouldn't do that on Shabbos. And cooking of Shabbos, of course, that's also min haTorah. Suppose a person does set aside truma or maaser on Shabbos, or does cook on Shabbos. So then, our Mishnah says, if he did it shogeg, didn't know it was Shabbos, didn't know it was prohibited, mutur, it's then permitted to eat, and therefore shogeg yochal. It's permitted to eat, and it's permitted to eat on Shabbos day. However, mezid, if he intentionally violates Shabbos, knowing it's Shabbos, knowing it's also to cook, and cooks, lo yochal, he should not eat, what does that mean? Until motzoei Shabbos. Now this is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. We have a rule that stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. We have a Mishnah where there's no author named in the Mishnah, no Rabbi Meir, no Rabbi Akiva, no Rabbi Yehuda, no Rabbi Yoshua, then we assume that that Stam Mishnah is following Rabbi Meir. However, the halacha is not like Rabbi Meir. The halacha, rather, is like Rabbi Yehuda, who feels that if a person cooks on Shabbos b'shogeg, he cannot eat it on Shabbos day, but he can't eat it after Shabbos under certain conditions.
If he cooked b'mezid intentionally on Shabbos, knowing it was wrong, then the cooker, the mevashel, can never use that food. Others can use it only after Shabbos under certain conditions. So again, we have an example here, which we have often in learning Mishnayos, where what we study in the Mishnah is not the halacha in actual practice. The Mishnah continues, Hanoteya b'Shabbos, if a person plants a tree or flower or whatever, vegetables, fruits on Shabbos, Shogeg, if he did so accidentally, not knowing it was Shabbos, not knowing it was prohibited, then Yikayim, he is permissible to keep it, to keep the tree, to keep the fruits, to have benefit from it. Mezid, however, if he intentionally plants on Shabbos, he knows it's forbidden to plant on Shabbos, he knows today is Shabbos, then Yaakor, rip out the tree, rip out the fruits, rip out what's growing, can't be used. Uvashvius, on Shemitah, the seventh year, the Shemitah year, that where one is not allowed to plant, Bein Shogeg Bein Mezid Yaakor, whether he did it intentionally or unintentionally, we uproot that which is planted. We are stricter with Shvius than we are with Shabbos. And the reason is given in the Gemara that that the Jewish people keep Shabbos. By and large, people know about Shabbos, certainly in those days, and they keep Shabbos properly. And therefore, we don't have to impose extra stringencies. If a person b'mezid intentionally violates Shabbos, fine, we'll deal with that. But if a person does so unintentionally, we don't have to be strict. However, the historical fact is that Shemitah is not something which people are as serious about. Even relatively knowledgeable people are not as strict about Shemitah as they are about Shabbos. And therefore, it's quite possible that a person would plant or do other avodas karka, do other agricultural work forbidden on Shemitah, do it, and say, oh, I forgot it was Shemitah. I didn't know it was us. Pretend that he's a shogeg. To avoid that, we're very strict with Shemitah. And whether a person plants on Shemitah, shogeg, or mezid, the halacha is ya'akor. We uproot what is planted and we take it away from him. So here we have another dimension of the halacha of truma. And that is that one should not, in the first instance, separate out truma tumeya on behalf of grain which is tahora. If he does so, we have a distinction between shogeg and mezid. So not only are there differences in who qualifies to be the one to separate truma, but even the person who is qualified to do so, so much depends upon his intention. He must not give truma to Meya. If he does so accidentally, it's truma. If he does so purposely, it is not truma. Tomorrow we will go on to lesson number 8, Mishnah Dalad and Hay of Perek Beis.